Hello all, welcome to the Hope Without Sight podcast with your hosts, Salu Kubu
and Tyler Evans.
The topic of this podcast will consist of many stories of people from various backgrounds and experiences who have had many challenges and have been able to successfully overcome them and rise to the top.
So sit back and relax as we give you the best of these diverse stories.
Because if you are feeling down and out, like you cannot make it in the world, then this podcast is the right one for you. Because if my guests can make it, so can you. Happy listening. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of a Hope Without Sight podcast with your host, Salu Kubu, and
your co-host, Tyler Evans.
This is Podapalooza. I believe this is our seventh Podapalooza to be a part of. And we're here with Gail Whale. She's going to be on our podcast. Gail Whale is a licensed psychotherapist, having graduated from Yeshiva University's Master's of Social Work program. She went to receive additional certifications and trainings in child parent psychotherapy, EMDR, and hypnosis. She also has national accreditations as an adopted competent therapist and as a Circle of Security, a parenting facilitator, which is a program that promotes the attachment bond between parents and young children. So please welcome Gail Whale. Good to have
you
on the podcast today.
So glad to be here, Sailor. Thank you for having me.
So what got you on your path to where you are now? Because please, Tyler, you tell her what Hope Without Sight is about.
Okay. So Hope Without Sight is basically a podcast that we host where we interview all sorts of people from all different backgrounds where they've overcome challenges in life. And that's basically everybody, really. It's a broad array of people. It's not just blind and sighted people, even though it's called Hope Without Sight. But Hope Without Sight is a metaphor in that it's hope without hope, basically. Sometimes in life, in the darkness of life, you think to yourself, oh, I have no hope. But despite that, there still is hope. And so that's basically what Hope Without Sight is in a nutshell.
That's right. And so what got you here then?
Yes. I am so inspired to be here. I am a psychotherapist. I've always loved, I always loved and wanted to be in the helping field. Originally, I actually was going for nursing, but I soon realized I'm not so medically savvy. I much rather help people in the sense of, you know, getting to know them and work with them on different struggles that they're experiencing. That is truly what I enjoy doing, is being able to brainstorm with people and figure out how to, you know, help those overcome their challenges.
That's right. And so psychotherapy is a dynamic field because, yeah, I know it's about helping people with a lot of mental challenges such as anxiety, depression, family dynamics. I've had quite a bit of anxiety, depression in my life, especially this past year. Won't go into the specifics, but I know therapy helps people.
Yes, it certainly can. With the right therapist. So it's so important, just like, you know, you're friends with certain people and not others. Same thing with your therapist, with your doctor, with whoever. You want to make sure that it's a good therapeutic fit and that you're comfortable with the particular therapist that you're working with. And in my case, the particular client that I'm working with.
Oh, thank you for emphasizing that, because it's important for people to have the right therapist, or else therapy doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're a bad therapist, but they're specialized in different fields, you know?
Oh, yes, 100%. 100%. It might not be the best fit, but it doesn't mean that, one therapy technique might be more inclined to another type of technique.
So you still practice today, correct?
Yes. Yes, I meet with people through telehealth.
Through telehealth. Do you do BetterHelp, or what do you do?
No, I have my private practice, and I meet with folks through Zoom sessions, usually once a week or every other week for private therapy sessions.
Oh, so what do you specialize in? Like, yeah, I know you specialize in children, right?
Well, I specialize in actually working with parents, whether that be, you know, parents who are coming to me because of some behavioral challenges or, you know, just being proactive and wanting to be their best parenting selves and wanting support with that.
Oh, it's good. It's good. And so what made you like get into that niche then?
Well, you know, we've all been parented. I think that from our young age, a child is very impressionable. And how somebody sees the world in their day-to-day very much is influenced by how they're raised, by their parents, you know? So I've been parented. I see the difference it makes when, you know, parents respond in a certain way to their child. It's a big thing. It's you know, you're forming a person's self-esteem, you know? It's a big thing that I feel you know, I have knowledge about. I have clinical knowledge, I have personal experience like anything, and I enjoy it.
And especially there's a big impact whether or not both parents are in the child's life. And what I don't like what's going on is there's a lot of fatherlessness that's going on. You see, I was abandoned by my biological father, which is not good, and it's not good on the child. And you see, a lot of that has to do with toxic masculinity. And you see, I've written two books, and my second book I just wrote is A Direction to Bliss, Men Transformed. It's 10 chapters of challenging toxic masculinity.
Wow. Congratulations.
And you can find it on Amazon too.
That's so inspiring.
Yes, it is. And I just want to challenge toxic masculinity, you know, and eradicate it from the face of the earth, you know? Have you ever had to deal with that?
Toxic masculinity? Sure. I mean, I think that it comes up in a number of settings. You know, you mentioned Sailor. It's come up with being abandoned, you know, by a father, you know? It can come up just in communication and regular everyday communication. It can come up in other relationships as well, for sure.
Yes, it can. And it definitely impacts a person's psyche. And it has impacted me, which is why I'm so glad I wrote a book about it. And I'm becoming a speaker to speak against toxic masculinity as well.
Yes. I think bringing awareness to it is very important.
It is. It's bringing awareness because I don't like men who dominate and think that they're the kings and they can control other people. I've experienced that, especially recently, and it's not good.
It's certainly not.
No. Aside from being a psychotherapist, how else do you show up in the world? Do you have a podcast? Do you have a coaching program? What do you have?
Yeah, so right now I am only doing individual one-on-one therapy sessions. I am in the process of writing a book. It's going to be called Please Don't Give Up on Therapy. So that's something I am working on. And hopefully sometime in the future, I can expand to, you know, I was thinking of starting some kind of parenting course. And yeah. Right now, all of that is just running in the back of my mind.
Oh, great. Because actually, in one of the chapters of my book, chapter 7, Blissful Discipline, I talk about how parents should show up in the world with their children, especially fathers, on how they should discipline their children, such as show empathy and teach them lessons rather than physical or corporal punishment such as spanking, because spanking is harmful to children. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but it is.
Well, I think that a lot of times when a parent is spanking their child, it's coming from a place of wanting to teach them a lesson. Like they're bad and they must punish them so that they learn not to do that again.
Right.
My approach to that is very different. I don't like to assume that a child is bad. Rather, I assume that there's a skill that they're not yet aware of, and they should be taught, talking about it, having clear boundaries, all of that, I think, empathy, you know?
Yeah. There's other ways to address, you know, disciplinary challenges, such as talking to your child and such as what they did wrong. And if it doesn't work, you know, give them restrictions such as grounding and or no friends over and whatnot, yeah. You know.
I think spanking, you know, that is not something that I would recommend as a go-to. I agree.
Thank
with
you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. And so, yeah, if you read my book, you can find it on my website. And please, I can even put my book in the chat. And please, you know, maybe if you work with clients that deal with toxic masculinity,
sure.
Please share it with your clients.
I would be honored to share this with my clients because I do think it comes up quite a bit. Thank you, Sailor.
Awesome. Well, what are some of the biggest challenges you've had to overcome in life?
Yeah, I would say some of the biggest challenges that I've had to overcome, you know, like anybody, human beings experience a variety of challenges. I would say death of close loved ones is a big one. The everyday stressors with my own children. Any kind of communication misunderstanding with those around me.
Oh, me too. I can relate. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All sorts of things come up on the daily.
And the idea is to figure out how to navigate them, right?
Yeah, how to navigate those you know, big feelings, being able to allow yourself to process them rather than run away from them. You know, that's important. What do I say when I, you know, what do I mean when I say that? In other words, you know, we all want to feel good. We all want to be happy. But sometimes in life, we're not going to necessarily feel good about something. And we're going to feel angry or sad, whatever the big emotion is. We have to let ourselves feel that rather than distract from it in order to process it.
It's okay to feel that, to process it. And I've had to, I can talk to you more about it off air, but I've had to feel a lot of that over this past year with family situations I've been dealing with. But and thank you for telling me that it's normal, you know.
It certainly is. It's just part of the human experience.
Wonderful. Well, yeah. It's been great having you on Hope Without Sight. Tyler, can you help us out with our customary ending?
Yeah. So what do you say to those people who have no hope? They feel they don't know where to turn, but they want to be able to, you know, go to a, you know, new direction in life. They just don't know where to go right now.
Yeah, I would say please don't give up. You know, there are times when you may feel hopeless. You know, it feels like there's no way out. That's the time to ask for help. Lean on your supports. If you don't have supports, then let's say you don't have supports, you don't have the energy to gain supports. Therapy, you know, that's the place. But there's no need to give up hope when things seem like there's no way out.
Please. No, there's no, and therapy is not shameful. It's not a bad thing. It's good if you
need
it.
Let's remove that stigma.
Yeah, let's remove that stigma. Exactly. Well, Gail, again, thanks so much for being on the Hope Without Sight at today's Potapalooza. Your story is inspirational.
Thank you so, so much, Sailor and Tyler. I really appreciate being able to speak with you.
Yes, well, stay blessed, everyone, and live blissfully. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hope Without Sight with Sailor Cooper
and Tyler Evans,
and got a lot of takeaways from this podcast. We hope you feel renewed, inspired, and encouraged, like you can just carry on and conquer the world.
Please hit the subscribe button on all platforms and tell your friends and family to do the same.
And in the meantime, blessings to all.